Welcome to War Eagle Weekly, every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., right here on ESPN Pensacola. This show is brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse, DeWitt D. Clark, Attorney at Law, and Sandpiper Services. Austin Price, Bill Clark here in the studio with you, as always. Bill, War Eagle, and good morning, my friend.
War Eagle, good morning.
Yes, we got a lot to talk about on... Well, on Auburn's front, of course, we've got a little bit to talk about with their football program because we have heard a development about their postseason or lack thereof. We also got Auburn men's basketball that we can get updated on because they've had a pretty pivotal game in their schedule most recently. And we've also got a lot to talk about, of course, with college football, whether it be Sherrone Moore getting canned at Michigan. Some of the playoff criteria was very questionable after this last weekend, and I know
we'll spend an hour on that.
Yeah, I know we'll be very opinionated with some of the big names being tossed around in that whole discussion. But I'm going to give you total reign here, my friend. Where would you like to begin?
Let's begin with the Auburn football. The coach has made some key hires. Obviously, we kept DJ Durkin. That is a huge plus. I think that's going to keep the core of the defensive players at Auburn. You're not going to see that many of the people from the defensive side of the ball enter the transfer portal.
Right.
And I think the transfer portal actually opens up in about, what, 3 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. There's a lot of them that have already announced that they're going to get – that they're going to enter the portal. Surprisingly, Horatio Fields, I kind of expected he would stay with the program. And, you know, because he ended up taking a medical redshirt because of his injury. I mean, he didn't play all that much, but when he did play, he was very good. Perry Thompson took Horatio's place in the receiver room when Horatio got injured, and Perry Thompson has – said that he intends to enter the transfer portal. The unsurprising one is Jackson Arnold. You know, he's still got 1 year of eligibility. He's gonna find a new home.
Yeah, that's not a surprise.
No, it's not. The big thing that I'm focused on is I want them to work very hard on keeping Cam Coleman and Deuce Knight. And it looks like neither one of them are expressing any interest in entering the portal. There are some outlets out there that say, "Oh, I've talked to friends or family of them, and they're weighing their options." But you know what? I think if they really intended to enter the transfer portal, they would have made that intention known by now, so they could be shopped.
Right.
Because I mean, obviously, Deuce Knight and Cam Coleman both will be at the top of everybody's portal list if they enter the portal. But I'm hopeful, and I am fairly confident that they're going to stay with the program. Why not? Because the new head coach, what's he known for? He's known for turning teams around and scoring lots of points, unleashing the offense.
Yeah.
So this is exactly the scenario that would suit them to stay. They're going to get a lot of playing time. Cam Coleman's already got a lot of playing time. Deuce Knight already showed us what he could do. In the one start that he had, scoring the first three touchdowns by himself with his legs.
Didn't he have, like, in total, six on the day?
Yes. He scored the first three himself, the very first one from the very first play from scrimmage.
Right.
It was electrifying. And I'm hopeful that sticks around and becomes part of the Auburn football team for next year. The portal's not open yet. There's going to be a lot of acquisitions out of the portal. The new coach has already expressed, made it known in a couple of his press conferences that he's already identified key spots, offensive line, because we're losing a couple of offensive linemen. We don't know if Connor Lue's going to be healthy enough to play again next year. He's still recovering, but we know that the backup centers for both of the backup centers were they performed very well, especially that 17-year-old freshman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he set records just by starting as a 17-year-old. But, he's already identified the key spots that they need to acquire skill from. And so I'm sure he's got his eye on quite a few people in the portal. Not to mention that there's a couple of the kids, traveling from USF with him up here. They expressed their intention to come to Auburn because they want to stay with the coach. So there's a lot of upside there on the football side. Mm-hmm. It was a disappointing season. There were several games that I personally feel like we should have never lost. Obviously, the Oklahoma game, and even the Georgia game. I don't think those. You know, if we could turn back the clock and correct the wrongs, I really think we would have been victorious in both of those games. And of course, that would have dictated the rest of the season because that's what led to Hugh Freeze getting fired.
Yeah.
So, and again, I was never a proponent of letting your coach go midway through the season, but we did it anyway. And I understand why they did it. You know, it was the train was already off the rails. The dumpster was already on fire.
Yeah.
You know, the fly was in the ointment. You know, it's just they had everything was going against us. And, you know, that was we knew it was coming. It was going to come at the end of the year anyway. So but anyhow, you know, that we entered the coaching carousel like a lot of other big time programs did this season. So I'm looking for big things out of next season. There are some of the pundits that are saying if Golish can get the offense going the way he's proven that he could at USF, that we're looking at probably like an 8-4 season or better next year. But, you know, we were in this weird offseason stuff going on. We were actually offered a bowl, but we turned it down, and I understand why. I mean, the whole coaching staff, everything's in turmoil.
Right.
It's not a good time to try to piece together a football team to put out on the field and not have a product that people want to see.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. I mean, we don't have the record to support a postseason game, even though we were offered one. But there were quite other few teams that were offered postseason as well. The one that I don't understand turning down their postseason bid, and we'll talk about that, I'm sure, in great detail in future segments, is Notre Dame.
Yeah.
You know, just because you got snubbed and left out of the playoff, those kids earned the right to play in a postseason game. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that team being able to put a competitive product on the field and give their fans one more game this season to you know, become fanatics.
Mm-hmm.
And they are. Every Notre Dame fan I know is just like most of the Auburn people I know. They are true blue fanatics.
Well, and it's not like Notre Dame was going to, you know, be slapped in some bowl against Eastern Michigan. They were going to go to one of the bigger non-playoff bowl games. They were going to face BYU. And they're another team who felt for weeks that they were overlooked by the committee. And see, they didn't shy away. They're going to play the damn game.
I would have liked to have seen a bowl game between those two because BYU was going to play with a chip on their shoulder.
And they've still got a good matchup. It's Georgia Tech and BYU now. So it'll still be a good one, hopefully.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, who at BYU wouldn't want to play Notre Dame in a postseason game?
Yeah, prove yourself.
Absolutely. So, you know, what a weird college football scene we have now versus, you know, 10 years ago.
Right.
We had no NIL. The BCS structure was essentially number one versus number two, and then the ancillary games around it. You know, and now it's essentially NFL light. You know, it's making schools and administrations and players and coaches do weird things.
It takes away from the specialty of college football. What sets it apart from something like the NFL? And I understand why a team like Auburn, you already mentioned this, as far as where they are as a team right now, they understand their circumstances, they've come to terms with how their season unfolded, and they know it's time to get back and focus on next year. Let's not get in some game that we were called in as an understudy. Hey, you want to come fill this spot? I understand why they would turn that down. Notre Dame doesn't have a great reason.
Yeah, well, I mean, I look back at when all this was coming together or falling apart, however you want to frame what's happened in the last couple of weeks with college football.
Right.
I think it's done a little bit of both, more falling apart than coming together. And, you know, I was discussing this with another Auburn fan that he and I went to school at the same time. I was barely athletic enough to dress as a football player in high school, but I enjoyed it. I looked forward to the games. I looked forward to practice. I looked forward to trying to get better.
Right.
Obviously I wasn't good enough to play at the collegiate level, not even as a walk-on. I am not Rudy, so that wasn't going to happen. But, you know, I think back to when I was that age and when I was doing those things, and I would be absolutely crushed if I was on a team that had a 10-win season and we're not going to play in the postseason.
Right.
As a player, as a kid in school, I think it's kind of demoralizing. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way I look at it. And I looked at it that way because I intentionally went back in time in my head to when I was at that age.
Yeah.
And how much I enjoyed just being part of that team, you know. We had a state championship high school football team. It wasn't because of me, but I was happy to be a part of it.
Yeah.
You know, it was, I really think they're taking something away from the kids that earned it. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that bothers me the most about it.
Did you hear what Clark Lee, head coach of Vanderbilt, said? He was asked at like some press conference about, did you guys consider opting out of a bowl? Because, you know, Vandy felt that they had a case and they fell just short. They're in the top 15. They didn't make it. And Clark Lee said, no, I can't speak for anyone else, but it never crossed my mind because we love playing football here. And we would embrace any opportunity to get one last chance to show what this team is about. And you had these snooty Notre Dame fans who are saying, yeah, well, you're Vanderbilt. All right, this is your Super Bowl. This is a disappointing year for us. I don't care about history. And I know guys like Diego Pavia don't care about history either. They're looking at this season and they're like, Vandy's just as good as you are, Notre Dame, if not better. And it's a mentality issue, plain and simple.
It's one more chance to shine.
Right.
One more chance especially for the seniors, one more chance to get out there and be a part of a program that they essentially helped build, mm-hmm. especially at Vandy.
Yeah.
Those kids earned it, and that coach gets it. And that's what's – I don't want to say I'm upset. I'm just very disappointed in the way some of these things have happened just in the last couple of weeks. It's looking back on it, not only as a fan, but, you know, like I said, going back and imagining myself being one of the kids on the team, I don't understand it. I just really don't get it.
Well, it's unfortunate, and it's going to get worse before it gets better because we've got some more of these playoff and postseason topics to discuss, not just as far as some of the accountability that Notre Dame has to take, but also in regards to teams that did make the bracket and how Alabama is a big head scratcher in that regard. We'll touch on that in just a few minutes. But until then, you're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. We'll take a quick break. This show brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse, DeWitt D. Clark, attorney at law, and Sandpiper Services.
I'm Steve Austin Worth, owner of Sandpiper Services, a local handyman company ready to tackle your jobs. We've served many in the local area for over 10 years. Have projects like fixtures, electrical, or plumbing? No problem. Ceiling fans, sink, or bathtub installs? Sure. Plus painting, drywall, wood rot, even punch lists for real estate transactions. We specialize in in-and-out projects and won't tie up your home or your wallet. Trusted, local, insured. Sandpiper Services. Call me at 850-255-1110 or find us on Facebook.
DeWitt D. Clark is a licensed attorney that specializes in practice areas of real estate, business litigation, mortgage, lien foreclosures, probate litigation, and a lot more. DeWitt has been selected 3 times as a rising star by Super Lawyers, a distinction only 2.5% of all eligible attorneys receive, plus a member of the All Sports Association. Need legal advice? Contact DeWitt D. Clark, attorney at law, 850-863-4064, or dclark@asglegal.com.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Cochin 4 Steakhouse. We're a third-generation restaurant dedicated to providing authentic Western-style steakhouse fare and heartfelt hospitality. Whether craving a cooked-to-perfection steak, fresh seafood, or a classic cocktail, every bite tells a story of tradition, passion, and dedication. And football fans, come in game day Saturdays in your gear and receive 10% off. Auburn fans, wear your gear any day and get 10% off. Cochin 4 Steakhouse, open Wednesday through Saturdays at 7445 Pine Forest Road, across the street from Five Flags Speedway.
Whoa, you just passed the gas station.
No, I'm going to CEFCO. It's more than gas. They've got it all. Everyday low prices and fresh-made-to-order food, always served hot, fast, and dang good. Plus, rewards members get great deals, so I save big on the good stuff, like drinks, gas, and your favorite snacks.
Good call. I'm already at the bottom of this bag.
Mm-hmm. Knew you would be. Right now, get two tacos for $5. Try crispy bacon, savory sausage, or bold chorizo. If you're on the go, better go to CEFCO.
Fellas, it's the season to shine, and not just from the holiday lights. Manscaped is here to keep you looking sharp for every holiday party, family photo, and mistletoe moment. The Lawnmower 5 body trimmer and the Chairman Plus face shaver deliver precision, comfort, and control worthy of Santa's nice list. I've been good and nice. Whether you're tidying up before a big night out or preparing for New Year's Eve, Manscaped has your back. And your face too, to be exact. So gift yourself with some grooming greatness this season, because looking good is the best gift of all. And now you can find Manscaped products at your local Walmart.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/play.
I'm not mysterious. I understand that. That's one of the things I'm not.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Oh, my word.
The Rich Eisen Show.
You are listening to the home of The Rich Eisen Show, hosted by me, Rich Eisen.
Watch out, because I'm coming for you.
Tune in weekdays for the very best in the world of sports and entertainment with me.
I'm coming after you like every day.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Your humble host on The Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show, weekdays 11 to 2 on ESPN Pensacola.
This is your home for Florida State University basketball. ESPN Pensacola. 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Welcome back to War Eagle Weekly, every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. This show brought to you by Cochin Ford Steakhouse, DeWitt D. Clark Attorney at Law, and Sandpiper Services. I want to give you some updates, or some specifics, rather, on these sponsors, if we got the time to. DeWitt D. Clark, selected three times as a rising star, specializing in areas of real estate, business litigation, mortgage and foreclosures, probate litigation, and more. And Sandpiper Services, that's a handyman company ready to tackle your projects, from plumbing or electrical to ceiling fan installs, sink or bathtub installs, painting, drywall, even punch lists for real estate deals. You can find it all at Sandpiper. Sandpiper Services, trusted, local, and insured. You can also find them on Facebook under that exact name, Sandpiper Services. And Cochin Ford Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road, right across the street from Five Flags Speedway. Bill, I'm going to send it your way here because not only do they have a deal for people wearing their football gear on game day Saturdays that we had throughout this season, but also what's going on that's more timely. We've got some reservations for Christmas parties, right?
Yeah, as far as I know, they're still taking reservations for business or family Christmas parties. And obviously, Christmas is literally, what, 2.5 weeks away. So if you're last minute Christmas party shopping, give them a call and see if they have availability on the day that you want to do it. But they are taking reservations. You'll need to speak with Bill or Rachel, and they'll be able to help you set that up.
That's the voice of Bill Clark. I'm Austin Price here in the studio with you, as always. Now, we obviously had some loaded topics that we discussed on the football front, and we've got some more of that upcoming, as we promised. But we do want to take a quick stroll down pit road here, because we've got Auburn basketball going on actively. They're, of course, just getting their season underway. And Auburn, man, it sucks when it comes to non-con, Bill, because we're looking at Auburn, and it's always just up and down with the level of competition they're facing. You'll see them face someone really small, then someone really big, and that's just how it goes in your non-conference slate. Well, you just played Arizona, and you got Chattanooga on the horizon. Arizona, you said they are now number one in the country. Is that right?
Yep, they are now the number one team in the country. They were number three when we played them.
And they played like number one.
Oh, they did. And, you know, I mean, we got hammered by Michigan, and we essentially got hammered by Arizona. But they have, in my opinion, that there's, they earned that number one ranking. They looked really, really good. Auburn did not play bad. We just didn't play at the level that we played against NC State or, you know, some of the other teams we played earlier in the season. But the season's still well underway, and we're still ranked. We're number 21.
Right.
There's still a lot of room for movement in the rankings. The Chattanooga game's coming up this Saturday at 3:30, and it's at Auburn. And then the next game on the regular schedule is at number 6, Purdue.
Once again, up, down, up,
yeah,
down.
Yeah, we're going from Chattanooga to Purdue, and then we go Queens, New York City. And then that's the last of the scheduled regular season before we get into conference play. And then, of course, you know, we got quite a few teams in the conference that are ranked.
Yep.
And even the unranked teams are not pushovers. So they never are. The SEC games are you know, everybody on both sides gets up for those. But
right.
It's going to be another exciting basketball season. I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping we have a tournament-level team, which I think we do, unless something unusual happens. We reloaded the positions that needed to be reloaded and did real well with skilled players.
Mm-hmm.
Tahad Pettiford's having a great season as the leading guard, the leader of the team, even though he's a sophomore. It's exciting to watch, and Stephen Pearl, I think, is doing a great job.
Yeah, Auburn is a the best way I can describe it is, you know, last year they were a great team. Right now they're good, got a clear ceiling. If you got two blowout losses to some of the better teams you faced, that's a bit concerning. But posting up a 7-3 record, you've gotten some decent wins on your way to that performance. NC State, you beat them. Oregon beat them as well. Those are some decent quality wins against big-name opposition. Tahad Pettiford is balling out. I did want to give him a shout-out. 30 points out of him in this game against Arizona. And that just says a lot about the Wildcats. If you've got a guy putting up 30 points and you're still winning by almost 30, that's unreal. And he was perfect from the line along
and
with Kevin.
And he's the shortest guy on the team.
Yeah, he's defined
the
odds.
He is skilled. I mean, it doesn't matter about size. It's obviously about the skill and the basketball intelligence.
Right.
And the coaching that develops that. So, you know, it's comparing it to last season, it's kind of disappointing, but you can't measure this team against last year's team because last year we literally had the best player in college basketball.
Yeah, with the and we've visited this multiple times, but with the talent that you lost, new head coach, even though it is the coach's son, it's someone new at the helm. It's not comparable. You know, we can talk about how it's a step down, but that was to be expected. So when you actually look at the wins that you have and the quality of opponent you've lost to, it's far from the end of the world. I was mentioning Tahad Pettiford was perfect from the line. Same can be said for Kevin Overton and Keyshawn Hall. They were a combined 12 for 12 from the line. So we've also had some problems with free throw shooting. At least some of these guys are trying to get that out of the way.
Yeah, the free throw percentage is improving game to game, which it started off really bad. I mean, it was barely in the 60 percentile range. Now it's up in the 70s, moving toward the 80s. And that's going to come with more playing time and getting comfortable with each other and comfortable with the speed of the game. But the big improvement in the last three games, not just Tahad Pettiford balling out and scoring, is Hall and Overton both were hitting three-pointers. And they were taking higher percentage shots, which was what I as a fan was looking at. You know, game to game, are they taking less chances with turning the ball over? Because we turned the ball over a ton against Michigan. 13 steals or 13 possession changes in the first half for Auburn. You know, you give up 13 possessions to the other side, you're going to lose. I don't care who that team is.
Yeah.
So that improved. And the shot, they were, when they did take the 3-point shot, it was a higher percentage shot than just a Hail Mary or, you know, a shoot it and hope.
Yeah, they're not conservative, but they're not panicked.
They're not afraid to shoot the threes, but they're measuring their opportunities a little better now.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to someone like Chattanooga, you know, I never like to be too disrespectful, especially when you're taking the time to talk about an opponent. But Chattanooga, not only do they play at a much lower level, they're a 500 team on the year. They're 5-5. I can only imagine. I didn't have pages and pages of analysis here, as you can see by my script, Bill. I mean, I would like to think you're going to manhandle the box as you get ready for Purdue.
Well, I haven't looked at the line, but I'm sure it's in double digits.
Oh, yeah.
And with it being at home. So, it's a 3:30 game on a Saturday. I'll watch it as much as I can, but that happens to be my granddaughter's birthday. So I know we're going to be doing dinner with the family for the granddaughter. So I'll probably be watching the remainder of the game on my phone.
Yeah, you're sitting there eating a little piece of cake with a party hat on, and you see Auburn struggling. Okay, everybody shut up.
I'll be that guy, but, I've always been that guy, so.
For what it's worth, I did do enough analysis on this game to give a score prediction. I've got Auburn by, 31. I think I had them, 92-61. So I've got Auburn winning this game, so you'll bounce back after the loss to the Wildcats.
Yeah, one of the pundits or Auburn podcast that I like to follow, they were talking about this game, and one of them actually said this might be Auburn's first century game of the season.
Really?
We had several last year where we scored way over 100 points. One game I think we scored 118, but he predicted this could be the game where Auburn just balls out and hits a century mark.
I don't know much about Queens, but I think I'll tell you this much. If you don't break 100 on the mocks, you're going to break 100 on Queens. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a pretty safe bet.
Yeah, two of these next three games, we're going to have an opportunity to hit the century mark.
All righty. Just already knocking on the door of 10:30 here, 10:29. We'll take another quick break. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. When we return, we're going to revisit this college football stuff going on. Obviously wanted to address Auburn basketball because we are an Auburn-centric show, after all. But we'll get more on this Notre Dame situation. And there were a ton of teams that were swirling around the playoff that had different mindsets heading into the bracket selection. I'm talking Miami, Bama, BYU, Vandy, Virginia, even Texas. We'll talk about how the wheel of emotions has gotten kind of off the rails. But that's coming up in just a few minutes. This show brought to you by Coach and Force Steakhouse, DeWitt D. Clark, Attorney at Law, and Sandpiper Services.
DeWitt D. Clark is a licensed attorney that specializes in practice areas of real estate, business litigation, mortgage, lien foreclosures, probate litigation, and a lot more. DeWitt has been selected 3 times as a rising star by Super Lawyers, a distinction only 2.5% of all eligible attorneys receive, plus a member of the All Sports Association. Need legal advice? Contact DeWitt D. Clark, Attorney at Law, 850-863-4064, or dclark@asglegal.com.
If you're looking for the perfect place to play, think of Scenic Hills. Every round feels like a getaway. Join Scenic Hills on weekdays for relaxed tee times and smooth, fast greens. Or bring the whole foursome on weekends for the energy, excitement, and great course conditions Scenic Hills is known for. And don't miss Scenic Hills golf events and tournaments all season long. Fun, competitive, and always memorable. Thinking long-term? Keep an eye out for 2026 memberships coming soon. Scenic Hills Golf. Beautiful views, incredible golf. Book your tee time today.
Thousands of children in Northwest Florida need your generosity this Christmas. For nearly 5 decades, WEAR-TV's Communities Caring at Christmas has delivered gifts and hope. Drop off a new unwrapped toy today at WEAR-TV, Sandy Sansing Dealerships, or Cat Country 98.7, or mail a check to WEAR-TV Studios. Your donation ensures children receive care and comfort they deserve. Please support Communities Caring at Christmas.
Hey, fans! Welcome back to Fansville's Cheers and Tears. Oh. Okay, so everybody deals with losing, right? To a rival on a last-second field goal. Whatever, it's fine. I'm totally fine. But I cope with losing with an ice-cold Dr. Pepper. Those 23 flavors are, so delicious. They totally wash away the pain of your college football team taking a big, fat L. College football. It's a pepper thing.
Do you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt or personal loans? With credit card debt at all-time highs, Debt Relief Advocates is urgently notifying consumers of debt relief now being made available, designed to aid consumers with out-of-control credit card debt. Those who qualify and enroll for this relief program will only have to pay back a fraction of what they owe. This is not bankruptcy or a debt consolidation loan. This is a relief program that credit card companies would rather you not know about, as it ends your debt nightmare and saves you lots of money. Consumers owing at least $10,000 in credit card debt or personal loans can now take advantage of this debt relief as the cost of living skyrockets. Debt Relief Advocates has established a relief hotline for you to call to learn what debt reduction you may qualify for, so don't wait. For this free information, call the Relief Hotline at 800-606-8737. 800-606-8737. 800-606-8737.
The Rich Eisen Show, weekdays 11 till 2 on ESPN Pensacola.
1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
All sports, all the time.
Welcome back to War Eagle Weekly, every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., right here on ESPN Pensacola. This show brought to you by Coach and Ford Steakhouse, DeWitt D. Clark, attorney at law, and Sandpiper Services. You can also find ESPN on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, or the absolutely free ESPN Pensacola mobile app. And lastly, catch this episode of War Eagle Weekly, all previous ones, on our local podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com, along with our ESPN Pensacola Facebook. We're always sure to promote the episodes there when they air. Austin Price, Bill Clark here in the studio with you. And Bill, we're going to circle back around to football here. Looking a bit beyond Auburn, of course, we've already touched on them and some of the news with their coaching and some of their roster moves, but also declining the bowl bid. So we know Auburn's book is just about shut as far as any action on the football season, but there's still a lot to talk about with this playoff chaos. We already talked a lot about Notre Dame, and just to finish where we left off on the Irish, I told you this during break. I feel that it boils down to the Irish having to take some accountability. They are 10-2. They do not play in a conference, which it doesn't matter who you schedule. That's going to hurt your strength of schedule and strength of resume. You don't play in a conference, and you got two L's to the only playoff teams you faced, one of which was Miami, who was closing the gap on you for weeks now. I mean, Notre Dame, you have a right to feel maybe misguided by the committee, but opting out of the postseason is nonetheless a terrible move.
I agree. Opting out was not a good move, and we discussed many reasons why in the previous segment. But I mean, you know, it's essentially the kid on the schoolyard. It's my ball. I'm picking it up, and I'm going home.
You somebody, and then when they come to tag you, I don't want to play anymore.
Yeah, yeah. We got shunned, so I'm quitting.
No, that it's just a bit disrespectful to the sport, especially. And you expect better from Notre Dame. I know they have a high standard, but with that comes a high expectation of, hey, show some respect. You're a godfather of college football. More like a grandfather of college football. You need to, you know, step up and set the example. Don't be whining and throwing hissy fits. And you said earlier, that's not fair to the players.
No, they earned it. You know, they're the ones that went out there and competed, and they earned the right to play in postseason. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And now, since we've talked about the main team that's been shunned, let's talk about the other teams that are in the bracket. I'm going to give you the reins here. I know there's an elephant in the room, and I mean that literally.
I was going to say the same thing.
when it comes to Alabama being in there, if you want to lead with them, that's fine with me. What do you think?
For them not to lose any positions in the college football rankings after getting, they were manhandled by Georgia.
Yes. Embarrassed.
There's a lot of argument there for the Notre Dame folks, and I understand the argument for the Alabama folks. You know, you beat them in the regular season head to head, and then you lose to them in the title game. Okay, I get it. I don't understand why they didn't at least move down to like a 11 or 12.
Well, you had room to drop them one spot and keep them in the bracket. So you could have, quote unquote, punished them for losing and still kept them in. You didn't even drop them a spot. And the reasoning was you didn't want to punish them. The problem is teams like Virginia, they were punished for losing their conference title game against a team they already beat. BYU, they didn't beat Texas in the Texas Tech in the regular season, but they were punished for losing by a convincing margin. So it's like, why are these teams dropping or having their playoff hopes ruined, but Bama doesn't even move a spot when they have the room to?
I think it's entirely on recent resume. That's previous teams, all the way, you know, 5-6 seasons back. I think it the legacy and the resume was important to the committee for some reason. More important than that loss in the SEC game.
If I had a transcript of what you just said, I would underline those words for some reason.
it's pretty obvious they like Alabama to begin with over Notre Dame.
I don't even think that the cockiest of Tide fans can deny that. They take a liking to you. They do. You're not spoon-fed everything, but they do like you. That much is for sure.
Yeah, it's the history, the recent history, I think, dictated most of that. Mm-hmm. To be quite honest, and we talked about it, Notre Dame not being in a conference, it really hurt them this year.
Right.
I've been a vocal proponent for several years that Notre Dame needed to get into a conference. They were invited into the ACC. They've been invited into other conferences. And they've always tried to maintain their independence. They couldn't continue to do that in basketball. They had to get into a conference. Well, I think this is their wake-up call now. The bell's rung, and the committee is pretty much telling them that this kind of thing can possibly continue to happen to you until you get into a conference.
Well, in Notre Dame, they're sitting here saying, as a university, why would we get into a conference? And it's a fair question. Financially, it's a good idea to stay independent with their brand and their marketability. Not only that, but not being in a conference has never held them back before. So I understand why they would ask that question. Well, the answer is very simple. When it comes to the playoff format, not only have we seen more of an incentive based on your conference affiliation with auto bids and everything, but we've also seen a bigger gap be established between the Big Ten and SEC and then someone like the Big 12 and even more so the ACC. And you've got a contract where half of your schedule is ACC teams, and then the other half has a lot of Group of Five rivals, some MAC teams. I mean, dude, come on. What are we doing here? That's not going to look good, especially when you start out 0-2 against the only two playoff teams you face.
Absolutely. I mean, that is the metric that dictated the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd have pulled me aside 6-7 years ago and said, I'm going to give you $100 and you can either put it on Texas and Oklahoma moving to the SEC or on Notre Dame entering a conference, I would have thrown that $100 bill on Notre Dame as fast as I could, because I would have thought for sure that would happen before Texas and Oklahoma come to the SEC. And here we are.
Mm-hmm. And also, I want to touch on Texas very quickly, because I know Texas, they did their last minute right at the buzzer cheerleading. Hey, you got to put us in, right? Alabama's argument over Notre Dame, and you already kind of mentioned this in passing, is our competitive peak. We beat Georgia. That's our best. We went toe-to-toe with Oklahoma in November. Notre Dame has no playoff wins. They went toe-to-toe with playoff teams in September. And then they're looking at Alabama's strength of schedule, and they're saying they still were good enough to make a conference title game. That's more than you can say for someone like Notre Dame, who doesn't have that metric, but also their schedule was not as tough. Texas is probably looking at that toughness check and that competitive peak and thinking, why aren't we getting rewarded for that? And the problem is you have too many losses and too ugly of losses. That's where losses come into play.
Yeah, their argument falls apart, in my opinion, because of the losses that they had. We discussed this during the season as it was happening. They were very cyclic. They would show up one game and they'd have their A game, and they'd score points at will and manhandle the other teams on the line of scrimmage, and then the next game they'd go out there and lay an egg.
Right.
You can't be making the argument that you should be a playoff team when you had that type of resume this season.
Yeah, you didn't have a conference title game appearance. Alabama did. You had a loss by over 20 points in the regular season. Alabama did not. You had a loss to a 4-win team. Can't say that Alabama or Notre Dame had that. That's why you were as low as you were. The committee knew, listen, you're going to cross an invisible line that's not so invisible. When you lose games like that, the losses are going to end up speaking louder and louder. The Longhorns need to take that. I talked about Notre Dame needing to take accountability earlier. The Longhorns need to take that.
Yeah.
You can't lose to teams that way, whether it be Georgia by 25 late in the year or Florida, who was 4-8. You can't lose to them anytime. You can't have losses like that, no conference title game appearance, and think, but we're the Longhorns. You got to put us in. We beat A&M. Nope. Some things speak louder than that.
Yeah, even if you throw into the metric fan base that travels, you know, they all three.
Mm-hmm.
To me, they're all three equal in that department. Texas has a huge fan base that will travel to watch them play.
Yeah.
Alabama has a huge fan base that will travel to watch them play. And Notre Dame obviously has a huge fan base nationally that will travel and watch them play.
It's interesting to see how these teams get treated when they're all big brands. You know, people felt that Vandy was being a bit slighted, and people definitely felt that about BYU. And it all boiled down to, oh, well, if BYU had Alabama's logo, they'd be getting better treatment. And I'm not going to sit here and say that those types of narratives aren't accurate. But you can't really make that call when we're comparing Bama and Notre Dame and Texas all with one another. That closes the gap a bit.
Yeah, what a unique playoff structure we have this year. I mean, you got James Madison is in the playoffs.
Oh, Lord.
And Notre Dame is not, you know?
It's, right.
And I'm not saying that James Madison didn't deserve to be in the playoffs.
They
absolutely did. They
For
played
sure.
their way into it. But I mean, you look at the playoff bracket now as it exists today, and you're scratching your head. You know, Texas isn't there, Notre Dame's not there, but James Madison is right there.
And
they're having to play Oregon, who is playing probably at their best right now.
Oregon hasn't been too battle tested, and when their biggest challenge was Indiana, and they did lose, so they have a ceiling, it seems. But yeah, they've played pretty consistently through a Big Ten schedule. They'll take care of the Dukes. But that's where the conference, you know, Notre Dame talk really ramps up. You could have won a conference and gotten in over someone like JMU.
Exactly. That is your argument right now today to go find you a conference to get into.
Even if it is the Sun Belt.
Or the WAC. I mean, you know, who cares?
Yeah.
Get into a conference. It makes a difference. It does make a difference.
And everyone knows the type of talent that Notre Dame gets. Everyone knows that the committee, I would say Notre Dame is treated the most favorably. That's what makes their little protest here so rich. They are treated the most favorably out of everyone except maybe Alabama when it comes to the committee. So,
Ohio State as well.
Ohio State, they can get some sugar, sure. But Notre Dame, if you have that image and you have the talent that you have, you go play in the MAC, you take care of business, you'll be one of the five highest ranked champs. It'll happen.
Now let's talk about the teams that did earn their way into the playoff bracket. You and I closed the show last week with predictions, and I predicted Indiana was going to beat Ohio State.
You did do that, and I did not.
Yeah.
I had Indiana losing by 3 scores.
And I had Indiana winning by 3 points, I think, if I remember correctly.
I can't remember your score prediction, but you had it being, I think, a close game.
It was going to be a single possession game. Man, what a ball game. I mean, that Indiana, all the questions that were still lingering before that game, they're not there anymore.
No.
Indiana is unquestionably a very good football team.
Yeah, I think people kind of get hung up on their image. It's like, dude, it's IU. It's a basketball school. Their football program sucks. Not anymore. And they look at, you know, the talent and everything and how, do they have what it takes to go the distance? I don't know, dude. If you have what it takes to go into Eugene, Oregon and win by double digits and then shut down a Heisman favorite Julian Sayin with the Ohio State Buckeyes in Indianapolis to win the Big Ten, yeah, I'd say that your talent has what it takes.
Oh, yeah. Well, they proved it. I mean, they went into that game with a chip on their shoulders and something to prove.
Mm-hmm.
And Ohio State was already in regardless of what happened, but they wanted to win the conference. And it really came down to who wanted it more. And it was obvious from the way Indiana played, they definitely wanted it more. I watched most of that game. There was a little bit of it I didn't get to see, but everything I saw out of Indiana, I never saw any one of their kids lollygagging around.
No.
They were all given 100%, and that's coaching.
Yeah.
And that's why they're as good as they are, and that's why they have the record that they do, because he's got those kids playing at a high level, and it was obvious watching them out on that field. They're putting out 100%. Even in negative plays where they made mistakes, they're still running back to the huddle. They're running up on their position on the line. They were aggressive. That defense was real aggressive.
That defense is phenomenal. I think it racked up 11 combined sacks against Oregon's Dante Moore and Ohio State's Julian Sain. You're getting through their O-lines to sack their QBs several times in each game. Are you serious?
Yeah, it was all speed. Mm-hmm. They were faster than everybody thought they were going to be. They knew they were going to be physical, but they were faster than it. They looked good. As much as I've been bragging all year about Oklahoma having the best defense in the SEC conference, I think Indiana has the best defense in the country.
IU definitely in that conversation. I mean, I know that they're not playing as big of competition week in and week out. I know the SEC really fights for that when it comes to depth and the Big Ten's lack thereof. But if you've got games as big as Oregon and OSU where we can look at your film and say, yeah, you're on a different level, I'm convinced. And I want to say this because we were talking about Bama and Georgia and how questionably that game was treated. The argument for not dropping Bama at all was, well, you can't bring the worth of the conference title game into question. That was the argument. And I'm fine with that. What I'm not fine with is you didn't drop Bama and you didn't put Georgia above Ohio State. Georgia and OSU have the same record. Georgia's a conference champ. And they just made up overwhelmingly for their one loss of the year. Ohio State played their toughest game of the year and got held to 10 points. Why did Georgia not climb up? That has me questioning still the worth of the SEC title game. Oh, we don't want to bring its worth into question, but the loser's not going to drop and the winner's not going to rise. Well, then what am I supposed to walk away thinking?
That's par for the course this year. I mean, it really is. The things that should make sense don't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
It is what it is. So now we've got the playoff bracket. It's established. All the crying's been done. Now the teams are getting prepared, and I think they start this Friday.
Next Friday.
Not tomorrow, but next Friday.
Yeah, the 19th.
Yeah, we're 8 days out. There's some teams that there's some games that are very interesting in this lineup coming up.
Yeah, we got a couple of rematches, but I think they're going to be about as thrilling as they can be. And yes, I'm including Tulane Ole Miss when I say that. Of course, the four teams that got the first round byes were Indiana, Ohio State, Georgia, and Texas Tech in that order. Outside of flipping OSU Georgia, I have no problems with those teams. I know Alabama, Oklahoma is also a rematch. Oregon and James Madison, we already touched on, probably going to be a pretty lopsided affair. And then we've got Miami and Texas A&M. I think that's one that people are interested in because those two programs, better than anyone else in the country, do less with more. They're looking to finally get over a hump.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to stick with the SEC conference in that game. I like Texas A&M.
It's funny that you mentioned that. With it being 10:50, we're going to take one last quick break because I did, and this is my fault, I did tell you that I wanted to do some predictions for the playoff games that are upcoming, and we lost track of time. So I'm going to take a quick break here with it being 10:50. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. When we return, Bill put it best. We're going to be looking into some of these games, and we already know that he's taking Texas A&M, but I'll have him repeat it when we come back. This show brought to you by DeWitt D. Clark, Attorney at Law, Sandpiper Services, and Coaching Force Steakhouse.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Cochin 4 Steakhouse. We're a third-generation restaurant dedicated to providing authentic Western-style steakhouse fare and heartfelt hospitality. Whether craving a cooked-to-perfection steak, fresh seafood, or a classic cocktail, every bite tells a story of tradition, passion, and dedication. And football fans, come in game day Saturdays in your gear and receive 10% off. Auburn fans, wear your gear any day and get 10% off. Cochin 4 Steakhouse, open Wednesday through Saturdays at 7445 Pine Forest Road, across the street from Five Flags Speedway.
I'm Steve Austin Worth, the owner of Sandpiper Services, a local handyman company ready to tackle your jobs. We've served many in the local area for over 10 years. Have projects like fixtures, electrical, or plumbing? No problem. Ceiling fans, sink, or bathtub installs? Sure. Plus painting, drywall, wood rot, even punch lists for real estate transactions. We specialize in in-and-out projects and won't tie up your home or your wallet. Trusted, local, insured. Sandpiper Services. Call me at 850-255-1110 or find us on Facebook.
Too much on your list this season? Get 50% off your first 6 months of payroll at gusto.com/radio. Gusto saves you 2 days every month on payroll, taxes, and compliance. So you can go from making payroll to making gingerbread houses, checking your books to decking the halls, spreadsheets to snow angels. Switch before the end of the year and there's no need to transfer payroll history. Now that's a reason to be merry. Choose a future with Gusto and get more time for what matters. For a limited time, get 50% off your first 6 months at gusto.com/radio.
Scott Graham here from Thursday Night Football on Westwood One. Jason Benetti and Kyle Rudolph have the call this week when the Buccaneers host the Falcons. Atlanta's out of the playoff run but can play spoiler in the NFC South race, while Baker Mayfield and Tampa Bay at 7-6 look to bounce back from a loss to stay atop the division. Join us on Thursday Night Football.
Right here on ESPN Pensacola. All sports, all the time.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
My name is Whitney Allen. I am a widow. My husband, Ryan, we never thought in a million years we'd have to use life insurance. The unexpected happened. With Ethos, it is so fast and easy. It's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/game. That's ethos.com/game.
Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
I'm not mysterious. I understand that. That's one of the things I'm not.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Oh, my word.
The Rich Eisen Show.
You are listening to the home of The Rich Eisen Show, hosted by me, Rich Eisen.
Watch out, because I'm coming for you.
Tune in weekdays for the very best in the world of sports and entertainment with me.
I'm coming after you like every day.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Your humble host on The Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show, weekdays 11 to 2 on ESPN Pensacola.
Share your thoughts about sports
and actually have a voice
with The Glassful with Jordan Glass. Mornings from 9 until Clinton and Friends on ESPN Pensacola.
1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Welcome back to War Eagle Weekly, every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Coach and Ford Steakhouse, DeWitt D. Clark, Attorney at Law, and Sandpiper Services. Austin Price, Bill Clark here in the studio with you as always. And Bill, when we left off, we were just starting to get into some of these college football predictions for the first round, and we're going to tackle those in this segment. But before we do that, where are my manners? We got Army and Navy this weekend. Army 6-5. They're trying to clinch a winning record. Navy 9-2, trying to clinch a 10-win season. This is in Baltimore, Maryland. I'll go first. I know I'm going to disagree with you on here. I'm taking Navy, low-scoring game, but with Navy being the better team and having a favorable field, I'm going to take them like 23-17, somewhere in that ballpark.
I have to pull for my Army.
Exactly.
Being an Army vet, I'm always going to pull for Army in the to win the Commander in Chief's Trophy. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. It'll probably be a one-possession game. Mm. I'm thinking 17-13.
Yeah, it's always close and it's always low-scoring, just with how those two teams play.
Oh, this is their Super Bowl.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, so the rivalry implications.
Yeah, both service. I mean, I didn't go to the service academy, but I knew a lot of people that did. I had several people that I flew with that were West Pointers. Mm-hmm. Most of them I really liked. So, you know, it's always been a big thing in our family because my dad was a retired colonel in the Army. And
it's a brotherhood.
Yeah. And, you know, the only other family members I have, none of them were in the Navy. They were either in the Marine Corps or in the Air Force. So, you know, it's Army's been a big part of our family. And, you know, I just cannot pull against Army.
Well, on that alone, I'll be happy to be wrong if Army wins this weekend. Alabama and Oklahoma. This is the first game of the CFP first round. One of two rematches that we've got in the first round. Number 9 traveling to number 8. I'm going to take OU to win this one. With it being in Norman, with them having already beaten them, defense has really been a problem for Bama as far as defense is shutting them down. I think that happens here.
I was just going to say that. Oklahoma, in my opinion, had the best defense in the conference all year.
Right.
And what lost the game for Alabama against Georgia in the conference title game was Georgia's defense just smothered Alabama.
Yeah.
You know what? The defense is going to win this game, and it's going to be Oklahoma.
Yeah, Bama hasn't looked like a contender in like 6 weeks or so. Number 10, Miami at number 7, Texas A&M. I'm going to take A&M. I think they're more proven. I think they're more battle-tested, being in the SEC. And Kyle Field's a tough place to play. I know the Aggies faithful. They've been waiting for this. I'll take them to win this game, but it's not going to be easy. Miami's a tough offense when Carson Beck's cooking.
Yeah, Texas A&M is salivating like Pavlov's dog. This is the bone for them to chew, and they're going to chew on it.
Yeah, okay, so we're all in agreement on A&M and OU. So we're batting 1,000 so far, my friend. Ole Miss hosting Tulane. Now, I know Tulane's holding on to Summerall through this postseason. I know Ole Miss is not holding on to Lane Kiffin, but Ole Miss took care of business in the regular season, and I think we're going to see that kind of talent mismatch again. What do you say?
The talent mismatch is going to be there, but I think the coaching situation is going to actually play into this game.
Really?
I really do. I think Summerall is going to have something special for them, and it's going to be a tight game. It'll be a single possession game. But both of them are going to score a lot of points. I think I'm thinking somewhere around like 30 to 27.
And you got Ole Miss on top or Tulane?
I got Tulane.
Wow. Okay. Man, I didn't think that was going to be only the one
because,
we would disagree on.
Only because Kiffin's not going to be there.
That is going to speak volumes, I'm sure. But it may motivate Ole Miss. Who knows? We'll see. And then we got a quick picker here, kind of going out on a bit of an anticlimactic note, at least relatively speaking. Number 5, Oregon, hosting number 12, JMU. You said that JMU deserved this opportunity. I am 100% in your corner on that. But that doesn't mean Oregon's not going to slaughter them.
I'm going to have to agree with you there. James Madison, this is probably the peak for them. And good on them. They deserve it. They earned it. But I don't see Oregon losing this game.
Yeah, JMU deserved it. Duke did not, but Oregon's going to take care of business either way. You've been listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Thanks so much for tuning in. War Eagle.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.